Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Here we are, your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford is back this week. We're taking a break from our day jobs as financial advisors with Rochford & Associates to bring you another money show to give you some news that you may not be hearing on those other financial radios. So we're aware the last thing you need is another money show, but we appreciate you being here. What do we got on the docket today, JR?
On the docket. Docket is a big word for my little brain. I was on vacation last week. I was up in beautiful White Mountains in Arizona, and I did not want to come back. This, like, every time I go up there, I really don't want to come back down here. The traffic, I mean, up there, the air is cleaner. You can see the stars. It's just less hectic living up there. So one of these days, you will not know that I won the lottery, but there will be signs, as I've heard it put. You will just not see little JR down in the valley anymore. Today, well, first of all, great job last week. You and the one and only Sam Davis, you didn't knock it out of the park. I mean, it wasn't the best show ever, but you definitely hit it towards the wall. I'll give you that.
Well, that's very nice. I was not, I was very scattered. I was like, hopefully I made some points. I was not ready to be without you, JR.
I understand
so
that.
Sad. Just so sad.
You talking about last week's show or just in general? No, it was good. I mean, you spent a little bit of time on one of our favorite punching bags, and I appreciate that. The person that you were referring to, the other firm, you know, it's funny because you know that I'm not a huge fan of hypocrisy. I think you should lay out who you are, what you are, and then run with it. And the person that you were referencing without saying his name, he invested millions of dollars in annuity companies. The person that hates annuities was a huge investor. We learned that years ago. Remember that? We got about three or four different articles that talked about the amount of money he put into things that he went on air saying he did not like. So
yeah,
was he
like a top five owner in American Equity at some point, which is a firm that just does fixed indexed annuities?
So they do life too, but they're bread life and butter. They're huge, huge.
Yeah, not variable, but you know, the stuff that we like, the stuff. And again, the issue with that guy too is he hates annuities, but he describes variable annuities and never differentiates. Annuity is such a blanket term. It can be used to essentially mean any pensions, but there's good and bad ones. You know, we don't like variable. We're very adamant about that. And if you listen to him talk in detail about annuities, he describes variable. He just doesn't disclose that they're variable. He just, all annuities is how he makes it sound. And yes. I have such an issue with that.
Well, and I've owned variable annuities. When I started in the industry in the late 90s, I mean, that's a big part of what I was trained on and what I, you know, I was trained heavily on the good side, the ratcheted death benefits, you know, what I wasn't really understanding at the time. You can, for example, you can substitute, and this is what I wound up doing after I really figured it all out, the risk, the fees. You can substitute a variable annuity using conservative mutual funds or a good, you know, broad basket of mutual funds, maybe a company like Vanguard that's low cost, and a fixed annuity. Bring down your risk level dramatically, lower your fees dramatically. Your performance in most cases goes up. You don't have to sit with a 20, 30, 40% dump every decade or 15 years. Welcome year 2022. We're having a great time with that. So, but, and let's not dwell too much on that man because, you know, forget him.
I mean, you had brought up a really good point that I want to
Again. Stop right there. Say that again.
I've already given you enough credit this show. We're only 3 minutes in. I think this is two. That's too many compliments. No, but you said you were trained, right? That was before you took the office to be fully independent. You were trained to sell variable annuities. Whether they're good for people or not, you're trained to sell. Just like we talk about a lot of these advisors being trained and the rules are the same. So when things go up, I mean, all these plans we're seeing, nothing's original. It's all the same. It's all, you know, outlaid to the old school rules. It's not for the world around us. And that's what you have the freedom doing now that you've brought the firm independent.
Well, exactly. And, you know, variable annuities, I always said I had to sell fixed annuities I had to present. I showed people, I showed the pros and cons. I always talk about liquidity. I talk about riders if there's a fee. I talk about contingent deferred sales charge. What's the woman's name at compliance? Are you listening? Full disclosure. I always gave full disclosure. I talked about the pros and cons. We always use moderation, diversification, things that are smart. If somebody came into my office with $100,000, I didn't put $100,000 into a fixed annuity. If that's the main thing they have, I laddered it out. You know, we use some short-term products as emergency funds laddered out. We use some long-term pension planning. But the one thing, when you really dig into the difference between fixed and variable, and it is stark, it's, you know, maybe variable annuities fit for some people. We haven't really dealt with those people. That's not the clients we gravitate towards. We can't find one that you and I would own ourselves. I think that should suffice. We've talked to a brilliant man who's a CFP, a CPA, friend of yours father, as a matter of fact.
I know.
It loves variable annuities. And we're like, "What? You're so smart outside of this. Why?" And it's, and he just said, "Cause they're good, you know." Well, he's got money and he can be laddered out and no debt. And
you can, you know, diversify. You can, you know, once you build your base, which we, you know, talk about all of the time, diversify. I mean, you can take your chances if you want. The problem is we're very pessimistic about the market, and variable annuities are market sensitive. So if we're telling people to get out of the market, it would be hypocritical for us to say variable annuities are a good idea. We like the fix, because if the market goes up, you get to share in it. And if the market goes down, you don't lose. It's very basic. It's very boring, but slow and steady wins the race.
But how does the financial services industry work? I mean, what's the bottom line? Isn't it about moving things? Isn't it about securities because of trails and 12b1 fees? And
it's just about moving money from the client's pocket into your pocket as advisor. Isn't that what we learned from Wolf on Wall Street?
Yes. Speaking of which, one of these weeks we need to do another movie review. When we used to just do a podcast, if you remember the episode we did, a movie review, we took like 10 financial based movies and went over them. We need to do that. Let's gather our thoughts on that.
I love Wolf on Wall Street as a movie. The problem is, if you dig into that character, like, that guy was an awful human being and capitalized on the misfortunes of others. He was a terrible person. Very entertaining movie, just like Wall Street.
Me this pen. Good job, Jim. Jim, putting a Wolf on Wall Street reference up there. We have Jim Tarabocchia. Is that right, Jim?
Very good.
We've got a producer whose name I cannot say.
You're pulling back the black curtain today, because you always mention when I'm producing you guys my name. And now you're finally pulling back that curtain and saying, "Here's Jim, and here I am." Hello.
There he is.
Jim, now, I have a handle on Jim.
Favorite, favorite financial Sam movie?
Davis. We have Sam and we have Jim. I can do Sam and Jim. But when you get to the last name, I can do Davis easily. My little brain is hard to process. Tarabocchia.
Me too. And to answer your question, too, Anthony, my favorite financial movie is probably Wolf of Wall Street, because everything is in that movie that makes it just the complete movie, from actors to production, everything.
You guys are young. I'm older. So for me, there's a bit of nudity and a lot of foul language that I gravitate towards that stuff. You know, I don't get that stuff at home.
Sell me this pen.
Such a great scene.
So we're gonna dig into that, Anthony. We're gonna talk about that for one of our upcoming shows and remind people there's some really, really wonderful movies to see. Back to the show, though. You know, when we talk about Another Money Show, you know, being tongue in cheek that we're not doing the traditional financial planning stuff. I look at it like we are a current event show and how it ties to your finances. We're trying to manage money into the future without a crystal ball. So we are reading. I have 7 days a week. I'm looking, reading, listening, watching videos. I'm trying to be a sponge. The reason being, we managing money in the future, you know, the best thing to do is to avoid surprises. You know, we talk all the time. You referenced the 10 pillars last week. Big stuff: inflation, taxes, borders, healthcare, politics, geopolitics. You know, that's all on the table. You know, but and we do bring up black swan events. We're looking for things other people aren't. You know, I find a lot of stuff that I don't find on the mainstream media. For example, we talked about the railroad strike and then it was averted in the 11th hour a few weeks ago. Do you realize that fell through? Have you heard that yet? Do you realize the railroad strike is back on? That's what, you know, how it's going to play out. I don't know. But about a week and a half ago, yeah, and you and I talked to somebody the day after they averted that strike that works for the railroad. And we asked what he thought. He didn't think it was going to hold. Sure as you know what, it ain't holding. So obviously it'll hold till after the midterm elections. Sorry about the political slant to this, but come on. I mean, all of a sudden we're dipping into the strategic oil reserve again, right before the midterms. Why don't you dip into it right after the midterms? And then we'll know this is not political. We'll know that it's to help the country. You know, I read yesterday, there's a bill, I don't know, article, whatever you call it, on the table now to start giving money to Taiwan because China is rattling their sabers over there. So
what money? Sake, we don't have any money.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to come up with it. We always do. We're going to print it. We're going to raise your taxes. You know what frustrates me? Let's talk about Ukraine for a second, which nobody had a clue what Ukraine was a year ago, where it is, what it is. Where's the tracking of the billions of dollars we shifted over there? Where did it go? You know, I mean, am I paralleling with Afghanistan? Are we leaving billions of dollars worth of equipment over there? Well, there is no accountability. So not only are we still siphoning money over to Ukraine, now we're going to add Taiwan.
Well, wasn't there an article we quoted? God, this had been 4 or 5 weeks ago. It was something like 30% of the billions moved they could track and said, you know, everything of all the assets, the military equipment, of all the money we're sending over there was something like 37% was accounted for.
Okay. So then cut that in half. Whatever they tell you, presume it's half as good. If they say something's bad, presume it's twice as bad. Just my thought, my cynical thought about the world around us right now. You know, I realize
if you're spending that kind of money, you should probably know where 100% of it is going regardless. Yeah,
but it's other people's money. You know, when you're spending people's money, it's a little bit easier.
Our money. It's taxpayer money.
Well, there's a select few. There's a handful of people that are spending it for us. So, and I realize life was never the Brady Bunch. It wasn't Mayberry. I get it. There's always been problems. There's never been this many, though. And today we are going to talk about every single one. But first, we're going to take a break. You know, and I do want to recap last week's show. I got one bone to pick with you. So after the break, there is one thing I want to talk to you about. So let's take a break. If people want to reach out to us, you know we're here for you. You hear all this current event stuff, but we'd also like to help you personally. Reach out to us at team@anothermoneyshow.com or give us a call, 623-523-0444. Thanks so much for being here.
Remember, all of JR and Anthony's listeners receive a free financial consultation just for listening to the show. Visit anothermoneyshow.com to learn more and schedule an appointment. Thanks for listening to Another Money Show and subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts.
Another weekend, another money show. Visit anothermoneyshow.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Another Money Show, and JR was just leading into how upset he was with me about last week's show. I'm not sure what I'm getting in trouble for, so I guess we're all going to find out together.
I don't believe I'm upset. I just have a little bone to pick with you.
I'm just disappointed. I'm not angry.
Right? I'm just sad. Stepson, my blended family product, my redheaded stepchild.
Could be redheaded. Nobody would know.
You and Sam, right? You and Sam threw me under the bus. You're always talking about my January 1st light switch deadline. The world's going to be different next year. I just use that as a frame of reference to tell people, be aware until some things get off the table. But the October 9th deadline. So here's when you guys, you know, when Sam's like, yeah, I'm going to use October 9th. Here's the deal. So if you haven't researched it, we've asked you to. It's important. If you go on YouTube and some of the videos, Jim Rickards is out there saying, make sure you familiarize yourself. This could be the black swan we're waiting for. Yeah, well, not a black swan at this point. If you're not thinking digital currency is coming, I'm not really sure where you're living or what you're doing or if you're playing for the Cardinals or not. So anyway, if you haven't looked into Executive Order 14067, now is the time. Jot that down. You want me to wait while you grab a pen? I'm going to have Jim sell me this pen so you can jot down Executive Order 14067. Pay special attention to Section 4. So basically, October 9th was the deadline for the different departments of the government to come back and release their findings on yay or nay on moving forward on digital currency. So on October 10th, because I didn't forget that date, on October 10th, I start searching. I start internet searching. Like, I am curious what they've come back with. You know what I found? Nothing. So either we have further incompetence and just ridiculousness for the people that represent me, or it's worse. Like, they did come back and they said, we better keep this under wrap. And you know, I mean, if I'm being too extreme, you know, my thoughts, you know, this week, the market's up. I'm going to call that a dead cat bounce. I still think there's way too many issues with the world for the market, the Dow Jones, which is 30 companies, to be flying high again. So if I am right, we still have a bigger market decline to come. And then I don't know the time frame. I know people should never give dates. I didn't pull October 9th out of my bucket. I pulled it, bucket, because I can't say ass on the air. I don't want Jim beeping me out. That October 9th, I pulled that out of the executive order. That October 9th was not a date I made up. The fact that October 9th came and went, and I can't figure out what was said, that bothers me. But what really, I mean, I think there's going to be a stock market correction. I don't think we've had it yet, or at least fully. Then I do think sooner or later, the banks are going to have to close their doors. So if you're keeping a lot of cash in the bank, I don't know what to tell you. Everybody we've talked to, we've got them keeping some cash. We've got them buying a tower garden. Thank you, Marcy, for being our contact there. If you want us to introduce you to Marcy, she's great. She can help you make your own food. We're telling people to put some food and water and precious metals away. I like that you referenced that too, precious metals. So it is dangerous to give dates. We just recently, one of our clients who we trust very much, is very well connected with people that are very smart and insightful. He's having us watch October 24th. Again, I hate that a date was given, but he's saying that there's a lot of biblical prophecy that has the beginning of the change of our entire global financial structure begins on October 24th. So we'll see. We'll see if it plays out. You know, I'm still old school. I believe in moderation. I believe in diversification. If you sell everything you own and buy precious metals, you better be right. Because if October 24th comes and goes and you liquidated everything to buy gold, then refer to our previous episodes on why that could be a problem, you know, to be diversified.
I talked to a friend, Tommy, about that, driving him to the airport. You know, that movie, 11 Cloverfield Lane, John Goodman builds that bunker. There's the nuclear holocaust. Said,
creepy.
Well, is that, you know, how you want to go about this? Like, we're not talking that extreme. We're talking moderation. Like, if you're going to be that guy, I mean, you're not going to know the day before it happens. You have to prepare before, and then you just sit down and you wait for this kind of destruction. Or do you go about your day-to-day life? But if you prepare for things like that and they do get here, then you have a plan. Like, you did it. You prepared. You know, you don't want to be scrambling last minute. So we're never saying doing anything obnoxious, you know, not refinancing your home to be able to make all of these changes. Just little extra food, little extra water, little here and there, you know, not to break the bank.
Little nascent iodine at this point. I mean, it you know, you got the government spending, what is it, $300 million of our taxpayer dollars on iodine in case there's a little World War III action popping up our way. And, you know, if I'm wrong about all this, so the stock market, this, we did hit the bottom. Now it's going to just skyrocket. Now it's Dow 50,000. Okay, that's coming. Banks are completely solvent. There's money everywhere. The paper precious metals, they all get, you know, where there's backing. So we don't go into civil unrest, increased violence, red states, blue states. Eventually, everything's okay. You know, you do still have to deal with healthcare, borders, politics. The incivility in this country is getting very noticeable. It's getting harder and harder to just be adults and have different opinions and not have people push it towards each other. So it's scary.
I mean, you and I disagree on a lot of things. I think we have the overall concepts are very similar, but some of the specifics. What was that? I don't know if now is the time to talk about it, but we mentioned it before talking about universal basic income. I think
we did promise. We did promise that we would air that out a little bit. Yeah, now is a great time. I mean, you know, we have no good segue. We have no transition skills. We just throw stuff out and see if it entertains people. And by the way, real quick, before we hit up Andrew Yang or whatever we're going to talk about. So when you say moderation, when you say have a little extra food, amen. We want people prepared, not scared. You know, when we talk about fixed products for people, like where if the world is as crazy as a lot of us are starting to see, where do you put your money? If you can't have it in the bank, You can't have it in the stock market. You can't have bonds. We work in Sun City, so that's really been tragic. So where do you put it? We are using insurance companies for some of our short-term money now. We have a heck of a lot higher interest rates on short-term CD type alternatives. We, you know, long-term pension planning, you know, and we've talked about it in other episodes, so I won't beat it, but we have ideas for people, you know, pay down debt, buy hard assets, look at insurance companies. They're not sexy, but boy, they've withstood the test of time during the Great Depression when the government was broke. The insurance companies, the old stodgy, you know, 150, 200 year old companies, they did loan and give money to the government to keep the lights on. You know, they did some good. So back to the segue that you did so nicely, and I just followed it all up. Universal basic income. We got started on that because Cook County, Chicago, Illinois, which usually does everything perfectly well. I'm from Chicago, by the way. Did you know I lived there for 23 years? So anyway, Chicago, Cook County, is basically letting people apply for free money. So the free money, it's just how much money do you make? That's it. You can be here illegally, legally. You can be 18 years of age. Who at 18 wouldn't put their hand out? You know, oh man, Jim just kind of held up the flash card that we have to go to break. So this is good. We get to tease you to stay after the break so you can hear our insight on universal basic income. As always, you know, we appreciate you being here. Please tell people about us. Please tell people. We really want to get the word out in Sound Alarm. So help us and reach out to us at team@anothermoneyshow.com or give us a call 623-523-0444. Thanks. And I hope you're having a great weekend.
You're listening to Another Money Show. To learn more and contact JR and Anthony, visit anothermoneyshow.com. You're listening to Another Money Show.
Welcome back to Another Money Show on 960 The Patriot. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget that our show is also available in podcast form. So subscribe wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Google, and Spotify. Also, don't forget JR and Anthony. I'm Jim, by the way, the producer. They let me bring them in, give them a little bit of a break. Don't forget to call JR and Anthony, 623-523-0444. For a free consultation as well. JR, you were teasing universal income last segment and about what we're going to talk about here. Universal income, it's really starting to kind of pick up steam in certain pockets of the country.
Yeah. And that's all important. But Jim, holy cow.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Gentlemen, this is not for those who don't know, this isn't my first rodeo.
Well, it is our first rodeo, so we are pleasantly surprised in what it's like to watch a professional do this work.
Well, that was smooth. We're going to start. You've got a radio voice and he's good looking.
Anthony, are you sure that you know what the word, the meaning of professional is?
No, not at all. I claim to be one. I've never seen a dictionary though, so I'm not really sure what it means.
Well, look, every week you guys bring great content to the show financially and even some opinions mixed in as well. But again, with universal income, and I think a lot of people from the younger generations are adaptive to this idea, but I'm not sure that people really truly know what it means, quite frankly. And with universal income starting to pick up steam, as I mentioned, throughout certain pockets of the country.
Well, and it's been going on forever. I mean, the state of California has perfected it pretty well. When during the COVID, you know, some of the aid we got through that money, sending out checks to people, isn't that free money? Isn't that universal basic income? It was supposed to be temporary, but it was free money. Andrew Yang, I mean, when he ran for president, I don't remember, but I think it was $2,000 a month was the target. You know, first of all, we're broke. So let's start with that. We don't have any money. So how do we give money to Ukraine? We shouldn't. How do we give any money now to Taiwan? We shouldn't. How do we give money to people, whether they work or not? We shouldn't. But let's start there. We're broke. If we weren't broke, let's say you and I, Anthony, become in charge of the country, which actually we're considering. So when we are in charge of the country, the first thing we think we should do is pay down the debt. We think financial fiscal responsibility is important because we think sooner or later, this is going to tip. And anybody who's listening, if you have kids or grandkids, you know, feel bad for them, for what they're going to see. They're never going to have the American dream that we had the chance to get. So,
well, a lot of that has to do with, I mean, the reason for the universal basic income, right? Andrew Yang's argument is that we're becoming more and more efficient in our manufacturing and we're replacing people. I mean, that's what our economy was built on. 40s, 50s, 60s was people building products. First of all, we've outsourced a ton. We've moved manufacturing, you know, to China because it's significantly cheaper. And we're being replaced by robots, you know, at this point. So his, Andrew Yang's thought was, we're going to essentially get rid of individual workers. I mean, you comment on that all the time, you know, the self-checkout lines and the checkout boards at McDonald's, you know, those don't pay Social Security. You're right, they don't, but they also remove jobs from individuals. So we've got all these people in this country that have to live, have to survive, and we're getting rid of jobs for them. So the thought of universal basic income is to, how do we fund this to give individuals just enough for basic necessities? Now, if they can find jobs, if they can work, then they can spend more, build up the economy, because that's how the economy is not built on saving. Economy is built on spending. But we're talking about, you know, exactly. We can't afford it as a country. We can't afford universal basic income. But the problem and the reason why this is even a topic is because people have less money. You know, the price differential or not price, but the wage differential between, you know, lower workers and CEOs is massive. I took, you know, a census poll. We've talked about this a couple weeks ago, looking at Arizona specifically and, you know, adjusting for inflation numbers. Our income in 1985 was $55,000 adjusted to 2020 dollars, but average income is $66,000. That's a 20% increase. However, CEO incomes in the time from 78 to 2020 adjusted for income is 1300% higher. Not 20%, 1300%.
Isn't this a free country, a capitalistic country where if you became a CEO, it is what it is? I mean, isn't UBI, universal basic, isn't it going to be like socialism? Like we're all going to be even?
How are we not already a socialist country now when it becomes the haves and the have nots? Gets to a point where capitalism goes too far and it becomes the exact same thing. So let's save that thought. We've got to go to break again. In the meantime, you can reach out to us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. You can find us at anothermoneyshow.com, and you can listen to Another Money Show wherever you subscribe to podcasts. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to leave us a rating and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. This is Another Money Show, except this one's different. This one will actually keep you awake.
All right, we're back, and we are discussing universal basic income. And my argument right now is just that capitalism has kind of gone past, you know, the big fear in this country is communism. And my argument is capitalism has almost become communistic at this point, because there's such a divide between the haves and the have-nots. So it's, how do we give, you know, the little people like you and I just the breadcrumbs just to get them by? So a get universal basic income is just kind of to, you know, kind of keep the lower levels happy, right? So there's not some sort of uprising. But the problem is we've gone way too far in the price range and in the wage gaps between everybody else and these massive billionaires.
I see it. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I see both sides of this, but I tend to focus on the more negative aspects of things. I mean, not just because, you know, I'm the person that watches the news just to see the train wreck. It's more powerful. I mean, you know, our motivations, love, hate, fear, greed. I mean, the negative is oftentimes more powerful. My problem with giving people $2,000 a month, I don't think it'll change the rich getting richer. and the poor hovering and the middle class shrinking. I don't think it'll work. And obviously I started this by saying we're broke. I think it's actually going to kind of reward the lazy further. Lazy. I mean, I don't mean to blanket everybody that's going to get it lazy, but I think it'll make generational subservience. I mean, I think it'll keep people, you know, kind of a lot of what we're doing now with the food stamp program. We've ushered everybody onto this program. It gives you just enough to get by. It never helps you temporarily like it was supposed to. I mean, you know, when stuff like unemployment came out, it wasn't supposed to be a lifestyle. It wasn't supposed to be permanent. Food stamps, all these things. We're supposed to help each other. If we could get the corporate CEOs to help people more, I would love that. I mean, believe me, I think it's disgusting, the disparity between the average worker and the CEOs. I do. If I was a CEO, I wouldn't see it that way. You know, if you were in the Walton family, I bet you wouldn't have the same UBI thoughts. But for most of us who aren't billionaires and you know, the 1%, it is disgusting.
I don't disagree, but all right, so let's talk about, you know, the universal basic income, the wages, right? There's the argument that, you know, if we increase wages, it's going to put small businesses out of business. It's going to, you know, we're going to have this massive amount of inflation and they're going to raise costs. Well, we have all of that now by the government printing all of this money with wages not increasing enough. So at what point, how do you fix the fact that most lower end jobs, you know, how do you get those people to be able to afford any sort of lifestyle at all, right? So we talk about the 20% increase in pay, but housing, cars, I mean, those have shot up way past that 20%. You know, it's just not feasible for people to live. And how do we fix that? Because you can only buy so many super yachts. You can only buy so many cars. Like, you can't just have one guy with billions of dollars spending a bunch of money. You know, you need lots of people spending a little bit of amount of money. Because it's essentially, I feel like at this point, like if you're hiring people and they can't make a living and they can't rent a house and buy a car and stuff, is that not, you know, almost the fact that it's slave labor? Like, if you're, how many hours a week do you have to work? Like, what's a justifiable amount to make people be able to afford to live?
Right now, you can't. I mean, you know, Jim gave us some facts that we could read if we wish. You know, one of the things is on inflation. The cost of candy is up 13%. Just in time for Halloween. The 13% increase is the largest annual jump in candy prices the CPI has ever recorded. We're in a no-win situation here, Anthony. Part of the problem is, and we like to air this stuff out, make people, you know, use their critical thinking skills. It's too late. We needed to have these conversations in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. It's too late. It's going to tip. You know, my neighbor sent me a video yesterday, you know, way to double down on making me nervous about the world, about CERN. CERN, and about how automation, it's basically, we are looking to get rid of people in general. It's very dark and very, I mean, very scary stuff. I'll send it to you if you wish. But
yeah, so what do all those people need to survive if we essentially get rid of all the jobs at the lower levels? How do these people exist? And that's where universal income comes in. So also, I want to state that I'm not necessarily for that. I just want to say I kind of get the basics of why the push. And also, as a financial guy, I know we can't afford it. So I don't think it's feasible. I think there's way more cons than there are pros. I just, it stresses me out because I know that we're at a tipping point. Everybody loses right now.
Yep. Except for the select few, the people that have the big wealth, if they can go to Aruba or Belize or whatever, you know, and with the UBI, I mean, who's going to administrate it? Don't forget, you know, we seem to think the government is always there to help us. I don't know if I see it that way. The government caused all of our problems. That's who we're going to trust to get us out of them. I mean, you know, there's no win. We're never going to win. We could talk about this for hours and we're never going to win on how to fix it is my frustration. So I don't know. I don't know how it ends. I think we are living in such uncharted territory times. I think it's going to be very interesting what happens with this country and with the world. And more immediately, I mean, when I go back to starting aid for Taiwan, you know, everything, when I talk about how there's always been things to worry about, if somebody comes in our office and they sit down, we go over their statements, we get to know them, financial needs analysis, all the, you know, very fancy risk-alize and pie charts and graphs and all that stuff. So then we tell them, we're going to go through all that. We're going to put together a financial plan for you and we'll talk again. So we wind up finding 10 financial plans, all slightly different, but all really good for these people. Good fit. Would we present 10 plans to these people? Absolutely not, because it overwhelms them. If you show them 10 plans, they're not going to pick one. Not because they're not all so brilliant, but because they're afraid of making a mistake. This world has given us 10 different things to worry about, and we keep adding one every day. You know, my problem with the foreign aid to Taiwan, don't forget a few shows back, we talked about how the government is urging military, active duty military, to go on food stamps. There's a huge problem with veteran homelessness and suicide. There's all these issues in this country, and yet we are making Ukraine, and now we're going to give money to Taiwan. Fix your own house first before you fix other people's house. It's infuriating to me. You know, one of the things that I got in trouble for debating with somebody recently, I brought up Wounded Warrior and DAV, you know, I bring this stuff up for, I'm a veteran. I feel like I have a little bit of room and a little bit of right to discuss some of this. Wounded Warrior, it's a wonderful cause. It's a very important thing. But what the hell? Why are we passing the hat to take care of our wounded warriors? Somebody comes home from Afghanistan, they lost a leg, and now we're going to do a GoFundMe for them while we're giving money to Ukraine. We talked a couple weeks ago about the debt ceiling. Nobody even knew about it. We hit the debt ceiling again a few Fridays ago. And in the debt ceiling emergency plan to keep the lights on, they put more funding for Ukraine to operate their government, not just for the weaponry this time. The irony, the ridiculousness of what's going on in our country is so extreme, and you still have people that don't see it. I don't get it. If you're listening to us, you know, we've been on here for over 6 months. So if you've been listening to us, you probably are seeing it. You are probably hearing it, or you think we're just crazy as you know what. So, and maybe both. Maybe we're brilliant. Maybe we're crazy. Maybe it's a mixture of the two. I don't know yet. You know, back to the dates thing. You don't like when I give dates. I don't like when people give dates. I understand that. But I also know that when somebody gives a date, it's usually pretty important stuff to talk about. It's stuff we need to know, and we're not getting it. We're not getting it on the news. We're not getting it anywhere. So you're getting it here. Welcome to it. Whew, that's funny. I don't know. I mean, am I supposed to be exhausted after talking?
I think maybe you need to take a nice, deep, long breath. Right? Breathe in 5 seconds, hold it 5 seconds, breathe out 5 seconds.
Yeah, I think we need some yoga in the middle of this show.
Maybe some yoga, although I don't want to pull a hamstring. I've heard that you can pull some muscles doing some yoga if you're not experienced. Just my producer 2 cents.
I pulled a muscle this morning trying to tie my left shoe. So that I believe.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah.
No, I think it's, you know, you're not wrong is the problem. And I wish we had more answers, because it's one of those you can't fix everything else. What you can take care of is, you know, your own home, in the sense of you as an individual listening to this show. The government's job should be, you know, taking care of its own home here. It's just not. We've set ourselves up as the world police, but we're crumbling within. So it's tough.
No, there's a lot to worry about, you know, and it's funny because when I do get myself all worked up, you know, it reminds me of when I started thinking things were off. It's been about 15 years now that I've been, you know, kind of seeing things are going the wrong way. I watched a lot of younger people that I would talk to their parents about helping them with a Roth IRA. Your mom and I did that for you, Anthony. I don't know if you remember that when you first were working, you worked at NYPD, you worked at Subway, these different jobs. And we made a deal with you. Every dollar you put in, we are going to match dollar for dollar. You put in $100, you just got $200. You took us up on it. You actually had a Roth IRA from a very early age. Most of the people that I ran into where I talked to their parents about doing that for their kids, there was no long-term, they couldn't see far enough out for it to be value. A lot of them had, you know, fully sleeve, you know, tattoos. They have other priorities. $1,000 cell phone, Roth IRA is not a priority. So, and unfortunately the world is sketchy and getting sketchier. So some of the basic traditional financial planning things that we've always done, it's still important underneath all this. But when I first started getting worried 15 years ago, I remember your mom saying, well, you know, you can't wait for things to go south. I was like, that's not true at all. I think things are going to go south one day. So if I do everything I can within my power and my control to prepare for it, and it doesn't happen, so what? I'm not out there robbing banks. I'm not refinancing my house just to buy MREs and stored number 10 cans, but I am becoming prepared, not scared. I didn't use that term back then. And it's funny because over the years, your mom started understanding that. She's like, well, you've gotten us, you know, where we feel is as safe as we can be for the world being as weird as it is. And then we go to work every day. We do our stuff. You know, your mom's nearing retirement. She's 55 years of age, and she's been with the school districts long enough where she can retire. Well, we have to get her from 55 to 95. And by the way, I think we should talk a little bit. You sent me an article yesterday about life expectancy. That's a good segue caveat, you know, into that. So
right.
How do we tell somebody who's made the lives of small children better? She's been such a wonderful person her whole career. How do we tell her taxes, inflation, you know, possibly food shortages and gas shortages are in your future? This is tough. So what we do, you know, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? How do you eat an elephant? I love that. You don't. How do you, there's more than one way to gut a cat. Is that you don't leave the elephants and the cats alone. How about we start there? All right. In the next segment, we need to talk about life expectancy, and we need to talk about.
I'm pretty sure this is the last segment.
This is it, Jim. Are we almost done today? I think we have one more segment. I think we're just having so much fun. Oh my gosh, no, Jim!
We are having fun, but this is indeed the last segment.
Oh my gosh!
Let's recap that article real quick. But essentially, the joke is, you know, you tell us when you're going to die, and we can tell you exactly how much money you need. The problem is nobody knows when their time is. And it's why you have to plan for today and tomorrow when it comes to your finances. But recently, there was an article out of a scientific journal. I can't find it right now. But essentially, we've dropped down to, what was it, 1996 for life expectancy.
Yep, we've had a game.
Yeah, so we've lost 20 plus years of life expectancy over the last couple.
And you know, the article scared me because, you know, COVID, you know, a lot of people died of COVID. But then when you look at the suicides and the drug overdoses, it's, you know, a lot of this, it stinks, but it's happening.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it. So the good news is, according to this article, you'll need slightly less money moving forward, right? So we'll end on a high note right there. So that is it for today's show. If you like what you heard, if you have questions about any of the topics today, you want to sit down with us to review your personal situation, you can reach us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Find us on the web at anothermoneyshow.com or listen to Another Money Show wherever you subscribe to podcasts. If you reach out to us, you want to sit down, there are no minimums, no cost for appointments, nothing to lose by getting a second opinion. If anything, if you don't have money to invest, you probably need an advisor more. Let's get you on the right path moving forward. There's no better time to start than today. Thanks for being with us. We will see you next Saturday at noon right here on 960 The Patriot.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.